Your presence. Oh, just proclaim it. God who's abundant, God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, formed the very earth, the very air we breathe. We have a prayer request for Lillian Smart. She's a seven-year-old girl from Ruston being treated in Shreveport for a parasitic amoeba in her brain. She's in very critical condition. Some here in the church have worked with her parents and turned in a prayer request for her tonight. Also have a prayer request for Brother Josh Butts, asking we remember a co-worker of his in prayer as his wife is having surgery for a Chiari malformation tomorrow. Wants to be remembered in prayer. Also, Sister Mandy's aunt Charlotte have been having a lot of throat issues and pain, unable to eat or talk very easily. They found a tumor and they plan to remove it tomorrow. Don't really know what to expect or the severity, but it's in a complicated location. Want to remember that need. Also, Misty Fisher has pulled a muscle and unable to lift her mom's wheelchair. Ask that we'd remember her in prayer tonight for healing. My sister-in-law, Ruth Dexter, needs a touch in her body. She's having some weakness, some health issues on several medications she's having trouble with. Need to be remembered. I know there's ones that are not here tonight because of sickness, and some that are here and need a real touch in their body and their family. Many great needs. A brain-eating amoeba, large mass in the throat. Many things we look at in the mountains seem so big. Man, but I believe we have a God tonight. You have a family situation. I believe we have a God tonight. Amen. If you want to lift that need to Him one more time, say, Lord, I'm here tonight at my post of duty. I'm here to do what you asked. You said to knock and keep knocking. And Lord, I want more tonight. Can we just go to Him together in prayer? Father, as that song would say, Lord, we've come together tonight, and Lord, we've seen many times when you've moved on church situations, and Lord, nobody even had to say a word, as the song would say, but Lord, your presence would just sweep down so strongly. And Lord, as we come tonight, that's our desire again, Father. Lord, that you would walk amongst each one of these pews and move by our way, Father, and we could reach out and touch the hem of your garment and be made whole. Lord, we're asking for a healing touch for these that are battling cancer, these that are battling sickness in their body. Lord, a brain-eating amoeba, a malformation in the brain, Lord, a tumor, whatever it would be, Lord, a pole in the back, a herniated disc, Lord. Lord, you see the needs tonight. Lord, you're the God that answers by fire. Lord, and we're believing tonight that you'll come down and answer in a very supernatural way. Lord, you've put this service, Lord, before the foundation of the world. You would know what would be said. You would know who would be here. And Lord, you told us to come. You told us to ask, to seek, Father. Lord, and you gave us a free will to do so, Lord. And from the depths of our heart, we're asking that you'd come, Lord. And that you'd feel welcome, Lord God. Lord, and that you would reach down to each one of these needs that's represented tonight. And Lord, move upon the congregation, Lord. Lord, turn back the hearts of the wayward ones to you, Father. Restore families, restore broken homes, restore broken bodies, Father, we pray. Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, we give it to you, Father. We ask you'll bless each part of this service. Be with Brother Timothy, Lord, as he's there in the back preparing. Lord, what you've placed on his heart, I pray he'll be able to deliver that. Lord, without any weakness of body, without any, Lord, fogginess of mind, Lord, but you'll give him a clear mind, a strong body, a strong voice, Lord. Lord, to proclaim your words tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen our bodies, Lord, to give you the praise that you're worthy of. Lord, help us, Lord, to sing the songs that glorify your name. And Lord, I pray you'll be with the tithes and the offering. Lord, I pray you'll be with each one, Lord, that's listening by way of the internet, streaming, Lord, maybe listening to an archive because they can't be here. Lord, I ask that you'll go down to where their situation is and touch them, we pray. Lord, as we ask, Lord, and we desire for you to be here, Lord, we believe and we know in your word that you said you would be, and we feel, Lord, a strong presence right now. Lord, and we just want to say again, stay, Father. Lord, stay and move and commune with us, Lord, as if we were on that road to Emmaus. Lord, and may each one in here tonight have that heart's cry, Lord, to want to pull you closer, Lord. Lord, I want to talk to you in a more serious and intimate way, Father. We love you, Lord. We see, Lord, the day approaching, Lord. Touch each heart, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Aren't you thankful to be in church tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may feel down, lost in the loop, anxious and weary, oh, brother, it's time to lay down your burden.
more shackles, no more shadow, no more shame. And this is where the walk is, this is where the ground. Oh, this will be your jailbreak, praise the Lord.
Get back! glad you could say you're one of them. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts tonight. Father, we come to you, Lord, just asking that you would come, you would minister, and you would move and touch, Lord. Let your word, Lord, just reign preeminent in this service tonight, Father. Lord, may it just come down and comfort and lift up and strengthen, we pray. Lord, we just give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can turn to Psalms chapter 84. Amen. So we, this weekend at Brother Ben Beard's there in Missouri, had a wonderful time with them, and bring you greetings back from them as well and from Brother Ben. Amen. Also, just want to make mention, I'm getting to wear a new suit tonight. Brother Ruben there in Romania come bringing it up to a meeting and said, here, I bought you something. And so I really appreciate that. And amen. I believe it'll give us a lot of service for the service of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 84 and verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are in the ways of them, who passes through the valley of Baca and make it a well, and rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Amen. We'll let you be seated. I'd like to speak to you again on a thought for faith for the valley. I'd like to speak about the valley of Baca. And I'd like to read a different translation. It just has some wonderful ways that it puts things. It's, how enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through dark valleys of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives to them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of an outpouring. And they grow stronger and stronger with every step forward. And the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Amen. Just really thankful for the scripture and the word that we've read tonight. But looking at this name, Baca, it only occurs by name here in scripture. And it actually, it comes from the Hebrew word that means to weep. And so the traditional understanding of this valley was the valley of weeping. And, you know, it's also associated with the balsam tree that it puts forth resin, and almost as though the tree itself weeps. But it's so spiritually, this valley gives us a picture of the valley of tears or sorrow or maybe great difficulty. But I want us to really key in on some things here tonight in this scripture, but something very important. The Bible doesn't call this valley their destination. It actually says who passing through the valley of Baca. And so Baca is something that's not your destination, but it's something that you're passing through. And the Bible would say in Psalms 30 and verse 5, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So, you know, as we've been speaking about the valley, faith doesn't necessarily keep you out of the valley, but faith will keep that valley from becoming your permanent address. Amen. We've read already in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not yea, though I live in the valley, or yea, though I dwell in the valley, but yea, though I walk through. You know, you may weep there, you may hurt there, you may not understand what God is doing there, but if Zion is in your heart, how many's got Zion in your heart? If Zion is in your heart, Baca is on the road, but it's not the end of the road. It's not the destination. So, but there's a secret that actually lies here, and we read in verse 5, before God ever mentioned the valley, he describes the very person who could survive such a valley. And it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. That is the key, amen. Our strength is not in our own abilities. Our strength ain't in our money or in our popularity or in people or if we have friends or we don't have friends. Our strength is not in ourselves, but our strength is in Almighty God. That's where we find our strength tonight. I believe that's where every believer finds their strength, because we know if we depended upon our own strength or our own abilities, we no doubt would have gave up a long time ago. But God's strength has come into a person by the Spirit of God. So we can read about here in the Church Age book, Brother Branham would put it like this. He says, the proof of his love is election, that no matter what happens, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation, because God has chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of truth. And he may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as he did Jacob or Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. It's all with a purpose. So if he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. But his purpose is after we have suffered a while, that we might be made perfect and be established and strengthened and settled. So the suffering is not the destination. Amen. Amen. But that we may be perfect and strengthened and settled. And as Job said in Job 23, he put strength in us. He did it. You see, he himself suffered. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And he was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. It's what he said in Hebrews 5 and verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. So he showed us the way. He showed us the pathway. He showed us the highway. In other words, in plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to the place of perfection. So suffering is not the destination. Perfection is the destination. Amen. Why did he want this? This is what he said in James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy that you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the trying is not the destination. Amen. The trial is not the destination. The valley is not the destination, but that he wants you to be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So what does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8 and 17. It said, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. So the destination, again, is not the suffering. The destination is the glory. Amen. That the sufferings of this present time, they are temporary. They are not eternal. Amen. But they are not worthy to be compared with our destination. Where we're going, amen, Zion, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that my suffering is not my destination. That my weeping is not my eternal destination, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. I may be going through something right now, but this is not where God has allowed for me to be for all of eternity, but this is just for a moment, and I know that where I'm going, amen, what I'm going through, it cannot be compared to the moment when I see him. Amen. Amen. You may see suffering all around you, but just wait a little while, you're going to see the glory. Come on, somebody, just wait a little while. You're going to see that God is going to have the glory in you, in your life. But unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. So we know character is a victory, it's not a gift. A man without character cannot reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to reign. And since he won't to share even his throne with him, amen, on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, we must also overcome to be able to sit down with him on his throne. Amen. And the little temporary suffering we're going through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that awaits the believer. Amen. That will be revealed in us when He comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into His kingdom through much tribulation. But think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That's what Peter said. Isn't it strange? God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering. No, sir. We all have trials. We all are tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. Every one of us has to. The church is the church that is not suffering, is not being tried, isn't of God. Oh, mercy. Isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son which He receiveth. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Now, this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. Every age, there's no age free from it. There's no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. Amen. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer to be Christ-like, but be Christ-like in doing it. Oh my. Come on, somebody. That's where I want to get to. We will suffer, but be Christ-like in doing it. So love suffers long and is in kind. Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the cloudy skies and the storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Amen. Come on, somebody. There are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still water signs of His love and approval. Well, everything's going well. I must have God's approval. That's not a sign of it. Amen. His approval of any of us is only in the Beloved. It's only in the Beloved. His love is elected, which He has had for us before the foundation of the world. Does He love us? Oh, yes, He says. Oh, yes. How do you know? How shall we know? We know He loves us because He said so. So it doesn't matter if I'm in the valley of tears, He loves me. If I'm in a trial, I'm suffering, He loves me. If I'm going through heartache, He loves me. If I'm fighting the greatest battle I've ever fought, He loves me. If everyone else has left me, God still loves me. He did that. He loved us because He said so, and He manifested that He did love us, for He brought us to Himself and gave of His Spirit, placing us as sons. Placing us as sons. He said, how shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said. By believing what He said. By believing what He said, and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trial. Now that's a hard thing to swallow sometimes. Because a lot of times we go through suffering and we want everybody to know we're suffering. Right? Yeah, you know, we go through things in life, and we want to tell everybody all the stuff and all the stuff. But listen, our heart is not on the suffering. It's not what I'm trying to get to you tonight, because you're going to go through trials, and we know that. We've all been. How many has ever been through a trial? Let's just settle that. We all been there, but that is not your destination. That is not your final moment. That's not, amen, God has got so much more prepared for us. And listen, I tell you, it's the law of contrast. You know, as we've been speaking about, you wouldn't know, amen, you wouldn't know what is good unless you experience things that are evil. Or you wouldn't know what was evil unless you experience things that are good. You wouldn't know the good times or the good days if you didn't go through some bad times. And listen, we really wouldn't appreciate heaven unless we've been through what we've been through here on earth. And God's allowing us to go through these things, through hurts and through toils and through trials, through valleys of tears and valleys of darkness. Why? Because He knows that valley is not my destination. but I am going to move from that, and I may be suffering for a little while, but there's going to be some glory that's going to be revealed through this suffering. And it's way worth more than the things that I'm dealing with right now. Amen. So it continues, the scripture continues on, in whose heart are the ways of them. You know, the picture in Psalms is of worshipers traveling through, amen, traveling through a valley, going towards a God, into God's presence in Zion. And so you read in 84, it's actually saturated, amen, with the longing for God's house. It talks about how admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainted for the courts of the Lord. So these people aren't just wandering aimlessly through Baca. No, they know where they're going. So when you know where you're going, that changes everything. Amen. You can endure a hard road when you know where that road leads. Amen. See, Baca wasn't their destination. Zion was their destination. He says, so we want to be people who know where we're going. We got a GPS that tells us of our final destination. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this right here. God's positioning system. It's positioned us to know where we're at. We're in Laodicea, showed us by a prophet coming in this generation. The point is right on the map, and it tells us what our destination is. Come on. Amen. My destination is a body change. My destination is to see the dead in Christ rise. Amen. What, maybe some of us may go by the grave, but my destination, amen, would be to rise on that day of resurrection. Amen. My destination is glory. My destination is living in peace and joy, and amen, in the presence of God and with His children. And, amen. That is my destination. This world has a different destination. They're going for destruction and into the white throne judgment and finally into hell. Amen. But listen, that is not my destination. Amen. The devil wants to come and lie to some of you and say, well, you're destined for failure. You're destined for hell. You're not. This ain't for you. Listen, you need to tell that devil he's a liar. I have been positioned here as a son of God, and I have a destination, and that destination is glory. We're not just aimlessly making our way through here. We're not just a bunch of driftwood drifting along and have no ambition about us, but there's something in it. There's a drive within us that says, this valley's not my destination. But if a man once anchors it, Brother Bram says it like this, that if a man once anchors his heart again in the heart of Calvary, he said, oh, all devils in hell will never shake him no more. He's there. Notice, for that he that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child. He claims God to be his father when he's not. So he gets tossed by every wind of doctrine. Not stable. Don't know where you're going. Double-minded. A lot of times double-tongued. Don't know where you're standing or what you're talking about. When a man that's been born to the Spirit of God knows exactly where he's at. He knows exactly where he's at. Nothing fazes him because something inside of him has already witnessed somebody outside the cloud yonder. And by faith, he sees him. He sees the destination. He sees the finish line. Come on. Amen. See, faith doesn't judge the journey by the valley it's in presently or what it's walking through presently. Faith judges the journey by where God said I'm going. Who passing through. I like this part. Who passing through. In other words, they don't build their identity around Baca. There you go. Amen. They don't say, well, we are the people of Baca. No, there are people headed towards Zion who happen to be passing through Baca. All right? There's a big difference there. You know, sometimes we let a season become our identity. Amen. My family's going through trouble, and that becomes your identity. You know, my ministry's struggling. That becomes your. I've been disappointed. I've been hurt. I've been sick, and they build their identity around their valley. And that's what they're identified. They're identified as a hurt person or an offended person. And that's their identity. But faith does not allow you to build your identity by the name of the valley you're in. I'm not here in this valley to stay in this valley. I'm going through this valley. And I am on my way to Zion. Amen. My faith says this may describe where I am, but it does not describe where I'm going. How can you say that, Brother Timothy? Well, listen, Joseph had a pit, but that didn't describe where he was going. That was a temporary valley he was in. David had a wilderness. Daniel had a lion's den. Three of your children had a furnace. Amen. Jesus had a Gethsemane and a Calvary. But none of those places were the end. None of those places were the end. Joseph's pit was not his palace. David's wilderness, it wasn't the throne that he would one day sit on. Daniel's den, it wasn't his grave. And Calvary wasn't Christ's final destination. And neither is Laodicea my final destination. What you need to do is look at that hurt and say, this is not my final destination. This is not going to be my identity. This is not what I'm going to identify myself by. I am a child of God, and I may be going through this valley, but I'm on my way to Zion. Notice there's something else here that's amazing. They passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a well. Notice who makes it a well? They make it a well. God didn't say they found a well. They made one. It suggests that, you know, somebody must have dug right there in the middle of that valley. Imagine the weary travelers coming into maybe a dry valley and maybe need water. So, you know, instead of merely complaining about it and saying, well, you know, there's no water here, somebody grabs a shovel and starts digging. That's faith. That's faith. Unbelief, you know, will sit there and talk about how dry the valley is, how bad the situation is, how terrible my circumstances are. How God doesn't ever hear what I'm going through. He don't know my plea. I've cried and I've cried and I've cried. Amen. But unbelief talks about how bad my life is and how impossible things look. But faith digs a well. Faith digs a well. So don't despise the valley you're in. You may discover water there you'd have never found on a mountaintop. So, as we said, it carried the meaning of weeping. So if Baca carries the idea of weeping in the place of tears, they make a well. You know, Psalms 56, 8 says it like this. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? See, your tears aren't wasted with God. He saw every teardrop. Sometimes, though, the deepest well in a person's life is dug during their deepest sorrow. Think about that. You know, you meet somebody who has unusual compassion. Ask them about their valley. Ask them about their story. You know, you meet somebody who can pray, you know, with just unusual depth. Ask them about the valley they've been walking through. You meet somebody whose worship, you know, carries weight. Often there's a Baca somewhere behind it. Sometimes some wells, you know, are dug with tears. Before Baca, you know, you knew God was faithful because the scripture said he was. Right? Come on. After Baca, you knew God is faithful because you live what the scripture said he was. So before the valley, you have a doctrine. But after the valley, you got a testimony. Right before the valley, you can talk about how good God is and talk about how you can read about it and read how he did it for Abraham, read about how he did it for this and hear about how he did it for Brother Branham, hear about how he did it for other people in this church. But after you've been through that valley and you've witnessed it for yourself, then you can tell somebody else how God did it for you. So before the valley, you maybe got a doctrine, but after it, you'll have a testimony. Amen. So we find out then the well isn't just for them. There's travelers coming through here. There's travelers. There's pilgrims passing through. You're not the only one to go through that valley you're in. Maybe I need to say that again. You're not the only one to ever go through the valley you're in. I know the devil likes to tell us we're the only ones. You know, we're the only ones suffering. I just had hands lifted. Every one of us been through valleys. But one group comes through Baca and digs a well, and eventually they move on toward Zion. And then another weary traveler comes behind them, and what's waiting? A well. A well. Amen. The first traveler's valley became the next traveler's refreshment. Ain't that a paradox? God can use what you overcome to give somebody else a good cold drink of water. Amen. This is what he said, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He comforted us so we can comfort others. He delivered me so we can help somebody else when they go through that same valley. Oh, you went through Baca. You cried. You prayed. Amen. You learned how God could move. You dug something out of that experience. Out of that experience. And a year later, somebody comes and says, I'm going through something terrible. And you know what you can tell them? I've been in that same valley. Let me show you where the well is. Let me show you where the strength is, where you can find peace in the middle of that valley. Let me show you, because I know God brought me through the same thing. Brother Brown says it like this. He said, we should do always try to do something to help somebody else. So it doesn't matter if you're in a trial, still try to do something to help somebody else. What can I learn from this? Where can I find strength? You know, he said, you know, as a servant of God, he said, you ought to watch what you're doing, because your written epistles read of all men. You Christians ought to be willing to lend a hand, do something to help somebody, make life a little more pleasant for them. You say, well, I don't have any gift of healing. You don't have to have. At least offer something. Offer a prayer. Do something. Amen. Do the best you can by them anyhow. Never turn a shoulder, a cold shoulder to anyone, no matter what it is. Even if they mistreated you, do it anyhow. Amen. Mercy. If you can't do it from your heart, then you ought to come to the altar, stay until that spirit comes in you, that from your heart you can love those who don't love you. That's when God will answer your prayer. For as long as there's anything in your heart, if I conceive iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear me. That's what David said, and that's true. He won't hear you. But we ought to be using every experience, amen, not as something, amen, to get bitter about, but to dig a well. And then, you know, then the scripture begins to talk after they dug the well. It says, then rain also filleth the pools. First they make it a well, then rain filleth the pools. Amen. What was it? Two sources of water. Water from below the well, water from above the rain. They dug, God sent the rain. See, there's human responsibilities, but there's always a divine response. Amen. They couldn't make it rain, but they can dig. God didn't ask them to produce rain. He asked them to keep traveling and digging. You dig the well, God sends the rain. Right? So, you know, prayer is digging. Prayer is digging. Worship is digging. Amen. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we do it anyhow. Why? You're by faith. You're moving. You're operating by faith. Not by feelings. Not by how I feel. Not by the way my emotions are. It has nothing to do with it. But by faith, I'm going to keep digging. And God's going to send the increase. God's going to bless us. Staying faithful and coming to church when you're hurting is digging. Come on, somebody. Coming to church, sometimes you're hurt, maybe emotionally or even physically or whatever. Amen. But you come anyway. Why? Because there's something on the inside of you. And it pulls you to the house of God. And you got to dig your way here. And you got to dig your way through song service. And you got to dig your way through preaching. But let me tell you, if you dig deep enough and you get enough holes around you dug, and you dug out the unbelief and you dug out the hurts and you dug out the fear and you dug out the nonsense, God's going to send a rain and He'll fill you up. He'll give you a fresh drink of water. Amen. What is it? We got to keep digging. People use this saying, churches go through seasons as a crutch. You know, because their church may be not so lively or whatever. But let me tell you, we all go through seasons as individuals and then as a group. Churches do go through seasons. It's a breathing organism, actually. It's a body that has life. Breathes in and it breathes out. It goes through seasons. Yeah. Amen. But what are we looking at here? Amen. When you feel yourself in that dry season, that's the time to start really digging. Because I'm not going to stay in this dry place. I've been promised waters of everlasting life. Amen. I've been promised a well. Amen. A spring up a well within my soul. Amen. Maybe it's something there that's capped it off for a moment and my prayer life's lacking or this is lacking or that's lacking. Let me find what it is. Let me dig back down until that gusher can start coming out. Come on, we need to do that individually, but we also need to do that as a body. Amen. When you find services are kind of lagging. You know where you need to check? Not the one next to you, not the one behind you, but the person sitting in your seat. Say, God, what can I do in this service to dig a little bit? Amen. Where I can get down, back down into that portion of the Holy Ghost again, where I can find that fountain of grace that can be poured out. And not only in my seat, it can just burst out and go into the next one around me. And this one over here, if I keep digging enough, I'm going to find it. Believe in the word when circumstances contradict it is digging. But you can't manufacture the rain. That's not what we're talking about. People get that idea where you're just trying to manufacture. I can't manufacture nothing. But I do know if I do what his word said, he'll send the rain. You can't manufacture the rain, but you can prepare somewhere for the rain to collect. What if they hadn't dug the pools? Think about this. Rain, you know, falling on hard ground runs away very quickly. Right? It's the rain that falls. You know, you get a service like y'all had Sunday, and the pour out of the Holy Ghost happens. The Spirit of God moves, and things happen. Amen. But if our soul that we have is not prepared to receive it, it lands on there, and Monday morning we done lost our temper again. We're back down in the same old wowsy woos, and we're in this and that and the other. Amen. Why? Because the ground wasn't really prepared for it. And it's every one of us that has to make sure we prepare our own ground. Too many people are worried about preparing somebody else's ground. No, we need to prepare this ground. Amen. Brother Branham talks about it. He said, the biggest enemy I have is William Branham. You know, the biggest hindrance that you have in the service is look in the mirror. It ain't the baby sitting on the next pew. It's yourself. Amen. When you allow things and you allow maybe a fuss on the way to church or you allow something to happen through the week to sit there and fester on you. And before you know it, amen, the rain has fell and it run right off. We need prepared ground. He went to prepare a place. Who's he preparing a place for? For a prepared people. Amen. We got to prepare ourselves. But if there's a little depression, a little hole that's been dug, a prepared place, it'll catch the rain. It's what we've been on. Elijah told them, make the valley full of ditches, and then God filled the water. But they dug before they saw water. That's faith. Amen. Digging is faith making room for something God hasn't sent yet. What do you think? Just thinking on this. Why do you think all of a sudden a storm happened that brought down a plane in Memphis and landed a prophet there and then walk down streets and keep going as he felt the Lord moving him? You know why? Because there was a little lady, there was a little house, had a son that had a need, and she started digging. And know what she said? She said, God, I'm just like that Shunammite woman. Where is your Elijah? Because if God's got a Shunammite woman here, he's got to have an Elijah. Amen. If God's got, if we have issues and situations here and things that we deal with, God's got to have an answer. But it takes somebody preparing the ground. And she was prepared because as he walked past that little place, she was already leaned over a fence. Leaned over, been praying all night. And dew was on her shoulders. And she looked up as he come by and said, howdy, Parson. What was it? That was prepared ground. And what happened? God sent the rain. God sent the answer and delivered that boy and healed him. And years later, he would see him again walking around giving God praise. Why? Because a little mama prepared ground. That ought to give faith to any of our mamas here that has a wayward son out there. Amen. God, I'm the same as that little woman. I have need. Well, listen, if you'll prepare for the answer will come. Amen. Dig a little while. Amen. Dig all the nonsense. Prepare a place. Amen. For that prodigal to come back home again. And actually, as you look at this, this place of weeping becomes a place of blessing. Is quite a reversal, quite a paradox. You know, they entered the valley characterized by dryness and weeping, but they leave behind wells and pools. So let me ask you this. When you go through a valley, does it change you or do you change the valley? Notice the valley didn't change them into bitter people. They changed what the valley contained. That's faith. Some people, you know, comes out of a valley bitter. Very bitter. Others come out carrying water. Come on, somebody. Some people come out of a valley bitter and tore up and, amen, just on a drift for years because they went through a valley. But others come out drinking from the wells of life. Drinking a refreshing outpouring, same valley. And somebody else can go through that same valley and one come out bitter and another come out rejoicing. So it isn't how do I get out of this valley? You know, that's what we get in a valley. That's the first thing we want to ask. How am I getting out of here? But as Lord, what can you put in me here that'll bless somebody coming behind me? We can read there in Psalms as we continue on this psalm. It's just a beautiful psalm. It says they go from strength to strength. That's powerful. Notice it doesn't say they go strength and weakness and destruction. But it says strength to strength. But a valley sets in between the two strengths. Well, you read about it. Whose strength is in thee? In verse 5. Verse 6 is the valley of Baca. Verse 7 is more strength, from strength to strength. So it means there is a strength on both sides of the valley. You enter in the valley with strength from God. You leave the valley with greater strength because you've experienced God. Amen. The valley didn't steal their strength. It developed their strength. So you don't go from strength to strength by avoiding valleys. You know, here's how we imagine the Christian life, you know, our little fairy tale, our little sandcastle we like to build. You know, we like to say strength, blessing, 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 more strength. Right? I ain't going to trick you and ask you to raise your hands, but I know that's how we want sometimes. We want strength, blessing, 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 strength. But Psalms 84 says strength, backer, digging, rain, strength. The valley is part of the process, just like your muscles. Resistance produces strength. So the ups and downs and things you go through, it produces strength. Amen. Faith that has never been tested as a faith hasn't discovered what it can really endure. But he wants you to know, amen, by the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. So Baca or any valley that you want to name, it doesn't mean God abandoned you. But sometimes Baca is the road by which God is bringing you to another measure of strength. To a greater strength. Amen. Not a destruction. I've been preaching on valleys. These valleys are not for our destruction. These valleys are so we can experience God, so we can see that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever for ourselves. That we don't just have somebody else's doctrine, somebody else's testimony, but we have a God who has now moved on my behalf. And it's moving me from strength to strength. But I tell you, this verse is one of the best. And every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They started traveling. They entered Baca. They cried. They dug. God sent rain. They gained strength. And then every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They made it. Baca didn't stop them. Dryness didn't stop them. Tears didn't stop them. Digging didn't stop them. They appeared before God. Amen. Ultimately, that is the purpose of this whole journey. Hallelujah. I want it to be said of me when I get over on the other side, this valley didn't stop him, that valley didn't stop him, bitterness didn't stop him, fear didn't stop him, nothing stopped him, never, no devil in hell stopped him, but he was, amen, he continued by faith. I want it to be wrote of me, by faith, Timothy overcame Laodicea and was granted to sit with him in his throne as he sat down with him in his Father's throne. How many wants that same scripture wrote about you? Amen. That same thing said about you. Amen. You didn't get stopped by bitterness. You didn't let unforgiveness stop you. You didn't let some resentment hinder you. You didn't let some family issue, amen, pull you to this side or pull you to this side. You didn't let some family trait trip you up. But you found a blood that was greater than any family tree. You found a blood that'll break every chain. You found a blood that'll take you through the valley of Elah. It'll take you through Baca. It'll take you through every trial. It'll take you through every struggle. And it's written of me. He made it. You can say whatever in the world you want to say, but as long as it says He made it, that's all that really matters. Not merely getting out of trouble, not merely just getting out of a valley, but getting to Him. You know, the greatest testimony is that I made it through Baca. I made it through Elah. I made it through this. I made it through that. The greatest testimony is this valley, Baca, Elah, whatever, couldn't keep me from Zion. Amen. Notice, the psalm doesn't say God removed Baca. The valley remained. But the travelers learn how to find and leave water. Sometimes, you know, our prayer is, God, remove this valley. remove me out of this situation. Help me. Yeah, you know, just take it all away. But God's answer sometimes is, I'm just going to show you how to dig a well in it. Because God merely removes every valley, you only know a God who can change circumstances. But if He teaches you that you can find water in your valley, that you can find strength, you can discover a God who will sustain you even when the circumstances haven't even changed yet. That's faith. Leave a well in your valley. Leave something that'll give nourishment to somebody else. Don't pass along your bitterness and your mournfulness and all that. Leave that all behind. Say, God, I'm not going to let this valley change me, but I'm going to change this valley. I look at Israel, you know, as they went over into that promised land. They said it was flowing with milk and honey. If you go over and look at it, it looks like a bunch of rocks. Like, how in the world is this flowing with milk and honey? God knew what was down underneath there. And so He gave people a knowledge and how to do things and how they sculpture the hills and to be able to grow their vineyards and do all their stuff. And they actually make gardens on these mountains and things. It's incredible what they've done in that place. And they made it bloom and made life come to that. Amen. Why? Because down underneath there, God said it flowed with milk and honey. It may not look like it. It may look like a barren desert. But God knows the exact person to put in an exact place that'll make that place bloom. Come on, somebody. He knows exactly where to put you, where He has need of somebody that can cultivate, somebody that can move, somebody that can move rocks around, somebody that can move it all and make a beautiful garden out of what looks like a wasteland. Come on now. Amen. You might go through trials. You might go through troubles. You might go through tribulation. Amen. But turn that thing from a trial into a testimony. And say, in this moment, yes, I was in a valley, but in this moment, I found water. In this moment, I found peace. In this moment, don't talk about your bitterness. Don't talk about your loneliness. Don't talk about all that nonsense the devil wants to pour on you. You talk about how big and how great your God is. And God that brought me here is the God that's going to keep me. And the God that's going to keep me is going to show me where the water is. He's going to show me where the life is in the middle of this valley. Back a place of weeping. There are valleys that you don't choose. But don't turn that valley or that season you're in into your permanent identity. But also, don't curse the dryness. Dig. What faith prepares, God will fill. So you don't have to leave back a weaker than when you entered. The valley is just part of the journey. It's not your destination. You may not get to choose a valley you walk through, but by faith, you can determine what you leave behind. Somebody coming behind you might find a fresh drink from a well that your tears dug. That's the beauty of Baca. The valley of weeping becomes a place of refreshing. And the people who cried there don't die there. Hallelujah. But they go from strength to strength until they stand before God. He made it. Let's bow our hearts together. He made it. How about you? Is that what you want written about you? He made it. She made it. She didn't let that valley become her identity. He didn't let that valley become who they are. But they didn't realize, I'm just passing through. But I'm on my way to Zion. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I mean, I wonder how many just say, Lord, help me find the water in my valley. Just point me to that place, Lord, that Lord, may I not leave this valley changed by being more bitter, hurt. But Lord, may I leave this valley and leave it as a place of somebody can find strength. Somebody can find refreshing. Somebody can say the God that brought them through is the same God that brings me through. Go from strength to strength. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord, just some thoughts you laid upon our heart, looking at these things in the scripture, these valleys. Lord, sometimes we get in a valley and all we can see is circumstances around us, situations, and people get all bitter and tore up about it for years, just languishing that. For years, just live under the cloud of family traits or family this, whatever. But Lord, may you show us, Lord, where the water is in this valley. May we as a church just dig. Every service, just dig. Dig out all the unbelief. Throw it out. Dig out all the stuff around us. Throw it out. Don't worry about this, that, and the other. Don't worry about somebody, what they say. Don't dig it all out. Lord, let the valley be changed, because even like Tabernacle walked through it on their way to Zion. Seeing the hands that were lifted, Lord, all over this building. You know each need. You know each heart. You know the valley each one is in or wherever they're at. Lord, they want to find that water. May they dig. Pray in Jesus' name. Lord, there'll be an outpouring of rain on this assembly. Lord, it could be even tonight, Lord, somebody's prepared a place. Lord, the rain can just come through and saturate the ground, Lord, I pray. Grant it, Father, for every heart and every life. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.
Waters, I know that you will be with me.
Yes, Lord.
When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of shadow,
oh, I will not fear.
Deep sorrow. water.